I wanted to start this parsha of Vayichi with to remember Shlomo. I heard from somebody who heard from Reb Shlomo that when Yaakov Avinu said he kopsu v'shimu bnei Yaakov, and he gathered them together, in doing so, even though he had said to them previously, he said, "Hey osfu v'agida lechem es ashikra eschem b'achris hayomim." Gather, and I'll tell you what's going to happen at the end of days. So the Gemara says, "I'm Reb Shimon ben Lokish, Bikish Yaakov legalis lebona v'skitz yomin." Yaakov wanted to reveal to his children the end of days. V'nistalkemim en shechina, and the shechina just disappeared, and he couldn't. So he was worried. He said, "Shema yesh b'chem psul, maybe there's something wrong with you." And they said to him, "Shema Yisrael Hashem lekenu Hashem echad," just like you only have one God, we only have one God. So then Yaakov says again, "Hikoptsu v'shimu b'nei Yaakov, v'shimu es Yisrael avichem," gather and listen, kindelech. So Shlomo says that even though min hashamayim he wasn't being allowed to reveal, but he could hint to them. So in the words, "Hikaptzu v'shimu bnei Yaakov v'shimu l'Yisrael avichem," the Ketz HaYomin is there revealed to those who know the secret. So there's a very interesting Vort from Reb Shimshon of Ostropol. I've seen written that in the future, you know, there's going to be a big bush, you know, because it'll be so obvious when the Ketz comes how the secret of the Ketz was hidden in the words, you know. But also, Shlomo has a Torah which is really based on a Torah of the Rebbe Rabbinim, that when a tzaddik wants to do something and he says, "I'm going to do something," then the thing is already done. So Lemoshel, when Yitzchak said to Esav, "Aseli matamim," make me, you know, the food, the tasty food like I love, in order that my soul will bless you, what Esav didn't realize is that he's already blessed. You know, if I say to my child, "Come here, I just gotta kiss you," right? Even before the child reaches me, he's already kissed, right? Because the feeling that I have of wanting to reach out and just bestow all my blessings on that child, that feeling is already the bracha. The Pshischa Rebbe actually says, in the week Sedra, it says that Yaakov blesses Vayivorech es Yosef, and he blesses Yosef, and because the Zohar Kodesh mentions and others mention that there was actually no blessing that he gave to Yosef. So the Rebbe Rabbinim says that the blessing that a tzaddik gives comes from the fact that the tzaddik is so full of the feeling of desire and love and wanting to bestow good things, that it just bursts out in an orgasmic way. Like the tzaddik is so full of bracha that it just bursts outwards and falls onto the person that the tzaddik has that feeling for. And that's Vayivorech es Yosef. So Yaakov takes the middah of Yosef, which is that which grows big and explodes in this orgasmic way. That's the middas yesoid. And that is what bursts out to bless Menashe and Ephraim And that's all the brachas of the tzaddik come about in that way. So when Yaakov Avinu says to his children, Hikobtzu v'shimu b'nei Yaakov, so they're already, he gathers them together, he puts his arm around them, he's already given them what it is he wanted to tell them, even if he's interrupted. So the Rebbe Shimshon of Astropole says a very sweet Torah. He says that Yaakov Avinu knew that when the brothers sold Yosef, they made a pigam in the name of God, which is spelled Aleph He Yud He, which we translate as I will be. Moshe asks God, when the Yidden ask me, what is your name? What should I tell them? And he says to them, tell them, Ekye Asha Ekye, I will be who I will be. And in the beginning of the Sefer Yetzirah, in the first Mishnah, we talked about the three names of God that are associated with the future. And Ekye is one of them, Elikim. And these are the names of God that are associated with Dinim, fear, and so forth. So, Yaakov knew that the brothers had damaged, they made a pigam. When they hurt Yosef, we were learning that Yosef is from the children of Rachel, who represent the future and is associated with the Midah of Din, with the fear, and they had damaged Yosef, and so they had damaged the Merkava that is associated with this name of God, Ekye, I will be who I will be. Now, Aleph Hey Yud Hey equals 21. The numerical value of the name is 21. So, Yaakov knew that 9 of his sons had sold Yosef. So 9 times 21 is 189. And so he said to them, or he wanted to tell them, that in the 190th year, after they had fixed 9 times 21 years, that they would be redeemed. So he says that's what the Gemara means, Bikesh Ligalis Es HaKetz. Ketz is 190. So Yaakov wanted to reveal to them that after 189 years they would be redeemed in the 190th. But Yaakov didn't realize that in fact there were 10 who sold Yosef, that the Shekhinah was with them. And so they were to be in Egypt 210 years, 10 times 21, not 9 times 21. Nistalkim imenu shechina doesn't mean that Yaakov suddenly found himself without knowing what was happening. Nistalkim imenu shechina means that it was hidden from him that in fact God was involved in Mechiras Yosef, in the selling of Yosef. So they said to him, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. They said to him, Tata, we were not 9, we were 10, because God is also with us. Kishem, just as you have one God, we also have one God. And just as your God is with you, so God is with us. So therefore, we need to be 210 years. You know, it's a sweet Torah, but to plumb how deep is this Torah, because Reb Shimshon of Astropol is saying a new meaning in Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It doesn't mean, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, but hear, Tate, when we sinned, the worst sin that could be possible to degrade and soul murder and sell into slavery our own brother, we were doing it in the presence and with the God was complicit in what we were doing. And as you know, we were learning Sefer Yetzirah and all throughout the Sefer Yetzirah that, in fact, the story of Rabbi Akiva is connected with the selling of Yosef and the Asore Aharuge Malchus, the 10 who were killed. You know, the Gemara says, the Gemara brings a pasuk . It's a Gemara in, where's the Gemara? Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Gimel. Rabbi Yochanan says, Oy lahem la'ovde kechovim, woe to the pagans, she'en lahem takona, they have no way of fixing. She'nema, as it's written, tachzan achoshes of izohav, instead of the copper, I'll bring gold. Tachzan barzel of ikesev, instead of iron, I'll bring silver. Tachzan etzim achoshes, instead of the wood, I'll bring copper. Instead of the stones, I'll bring iron. Tachas Rabbi Akiva v'chaveirav ma mevi'in. What? I mean, the nations, the pagans who destroyed us, you know, destroyed the temple, destroyed everything, everything that you destroy, you can put it back together again, you can fix it, you can make it better than it was, right? Instead of the copper, gold, instead of the iron, silver, right? Tachas Rabbi Akiva v'chaverav. But what are you going to bring instead of Rabbi Akiva? You can't bring him back again, and certainly you can't find anybody who's better than him and put him in his place. Aleim hu oimer v'nikesi domam le'nikesi. The Gemara says there, you know, the Pusik says, and I will avenge their blood, and it won't be avenged, because Rabbi Akiva, how are you going to fix the story of Rabbi Akiva? So, there's a Gemara. The Gemara is brought in the Me'er Shiloyach. The Ishbitzer, the Mishnah in Brocha says, HaKoyra, somebody who read the Shema and he didn't pay attention to what he was saying. So you're reading the Shema, and you know how it is. Everything comes into your mind, right? When you try and like say Shema, right? We're not even up to Shema Nes already, but like every thought in the world is like flying through your head, right? So somebody who didn't actually hear what he was saying when he was saying the Shema, his yotze. Koravaloi diktik boises. Somebody who was reading the Shema, but, you know, was letting all the words run together and didn't separate the words properly into the syllables and so on. His yotze. So then, the Gemara says, Omer Reb Tevi, Omer Reb Yoshia. What does it mean when the Torah makes a connection and there's a verse in Mishlei that talks about Sholosh Heina Lo Tizbano. There are three things that are never satisfied. One of them is Sha'ol, which is like the underworld, Vo'itzerochem and the womb, and Eretz Lo Sova, parched ground, like, you know. The Sha'ol will never say, oh, enough dead people. There's always room for more dead people, right? And a womb is always ready for more sperm. And the earth is always going to take more water. And then there's a fourth, which is fire. Fire will never say, oh, I'm satisfied, I'm full up, don't feed me anymore. Right? So the Gemara says, what's the connection between Sheol, like the underworld, and the womb? Man shona etzerecha, loy melach, to tell you that just as the womb machnis umoitzi, just as the womb absorbs and produces, right? It absorbs the sperm and then it produces a child. So the underworld absorbs the dead, but then it spits them back out again as the living. And the Gemara brings a kal v'chomer, an argument. It says like this. Haladvarim kal v'chomer. If the womb, into which everything goes so quietly and discreetly, when it produces with a big noise, the baby's screaming, everybody's shouting, Mazel Tov, it's a big hullabaloo. Sheol, the grave, the underworld, where everything happens, there, it goes in screaming with, you know, people are reluctant to die, and then people are dying, and people are crying, and there's a big hullabaloo. How much more so will it produce everything with a hullabaloo, and Tchias HaMesim is going to be this big, happy, joyous, noisy event. In fact, the Gemara ends by saying, here's an answer to those who say that there's no Tchias HaMesim in the Torah. Anybody who says to you that the resurrection of the dead isn't really there in the Torah, you just show them this posuk. Because there could be no other reason why King Solomon juxtaposed the womb and the underworld. Unless he's telling us something about them, which is that the underworld is really not much different from the womb. And just as the womb, things go in and they come out, reborn or fresh born, so Sheol, the underworld, things go down and then they come out born or reborn. So the Ishbitza asks, what's the connection? One minute, the Gemara is talking about somebody who says the Shema and doesn't listen to what he's saying, you know, says it without proper kavanah. And this drush that follows on, seemingly in a seamless way, about the connection between the underworld and the womb. So he says, why would a person daven and not even hear what he's saying? How can you be davening and not hear what you're saying? What's happening inside you that you're so disconnected from yourself that you're trying to pray, but you're not? So the Ishbitza, in his holy way, says, very often we know our own heart, and in fact we tell our heart, please daven. You know, sometimes I got so much despair, I say, God, I can't daven. But in saying that, I'm really saying, God, look in my heart. You know in my heart I'm davening to you all the time. But that part of me which is dealing with the world and dealing with my body and dealing with my reality, or what it feels like my reality, can't even go there to the davening. So Reb Tivi says, that's Yoitzer. You fulfilled your obligation to daven. Why? Because God will bear witness that even when I daven in such a way that anybody listening to me will say, that was gedavent, that was gebrumt, That was geplappert. That wasn't gedavend, right? That was just... They were, I don't know what you were doing. You weren't even counting money. It was like you were reciting something. Your head was in a different... What are you doing, right? Sometimes you stand next to yourself in shul, right? Never mind standing next to your neighbor in shul. I mean, we can all stand next to somebody else and hear them go, nyo, right? But sometimes you hear yourself going, nyo, and you look on the page, you can't even find where you are on the page. It's like, I know I was saying something. I could hear the words, some words, I know words. Where was I, right? I mean, it's like, we're so, the words coming out of our mouth are just like so on autopilot, that I can't even remember what they were, and I'm listening to them. You know, it's like, so we can be so far away from the Kavana. Nevertheless, if I said the Shema that way, the last thing I remembered was saying Shema, and the next thing I'm saying Emes, and it's like I have no recollection of getting from there to here. Nevertheless, I'm Yoitza. Why? Because God took those words and connected them to the deep feeling that I have in my heart that I'm afraid to connect with. Because I am in so much pain that I'm afraid to even... I'm afraid to even get in touch with my heart when I go to daven. And I say, Rabbi Hashem, I have nothing to say to you. What am I saying when I say, ah, Rabbi Hashem, I have nothing to say to you? I'm saying, I'm afraid to even start davening because I'm going to have a complete total breakdown. So now the Ishbitzer says this is the connection between that halacha about somebody who davens without listening to himself and the connection between Sheol and the womb. Because this is the proof. There's something, the Ishbitzer says, there's something very different about sex. It's a groisa mitzvah. It's a very big mitzvah. It's the first mitzvah in the Torah, pruruvu. And if ever there's a mitzvah for which we have pomp and circumstance, a wedding, right? I mean, people spend 30 years paying for a wedding that they made. A wedding, you got married. Why is getting married? Because they're going to have sex. Because they're going to make babies. That's why we get married. You know, if it's such a big mitzvah, how come we're so embarrassed? And, you know, in fact, there was one Rebbe who had completely got rid of any Yetzirah to do with sex. And he used to, that was the Holy Yid. It was known as the Yid HaKodesh, the Holy Yid. And he used to say, I don't understand why people don't have sex in shul. Like you put on tefillin in shul. But we don't, do we? We're embarrassed. Why are we embarrassed? Because there's something about us in the act of sex that embarrasses ourselves, and that is that we mean us, me. I mean me. And with somebody else, but you know something? I stopped thinking about her ages ago. For the last 10 minutes, I've been thinking about me. Where does the shame and embarrassment around sexuality come from? That we're ashamed and embarrassed that we go from being in love and starting out as an act of love, and somewhere along the road it's very difficult to hang on to that feeling of love with which we began and to end with it. There's a medrash in Parshas Ishakisazria. The medrash says, David HaMelech said to God, "Bechet Shechamsunim," he said, "Rabbeinu Shalom, you think Yishai, my father, was thinking of me when he was with my mother? He wasn't thinking of me." And the proof, it's an interesting marriage. The proof is when he was done, he just turned his face away from her. Right? As soon as he was done, it was like he turned this way and she turned that way and they were on their own again, right? So it wasn't about me. So the Ishbitza says, and yet, you can have somebody who's so selfish, right? Let's think of the ultimate selfish sex in the Torah was Yehuda. He's just overcome with lust. Stops on the road on his way home from shul. He gives away his... He pawns his Taz tefillin, right? He gives it to, for sex, right? And then out from this comes Mashiach, right? So there's something about sex that no matter, even though I'm not really in it pure and my kavana isn't great, nevertheless, God takes it, the act, and brings down these holy souls. Like somebody like David HaMelech, right? David HaMelech. The holiest soul since the creation of the world, right, comes from what? He says, my father wasn't thinking of me. He wasn't thinking of anything holy. He was so into himself that when he was finished making love to my mother, he just had to turn away, right? He didn't have anything with her. And yet, look at me. So, sex and the fact that God takes the drop of sperm and, you know, from a drop of sperm there's millions of possible babies. Each version, each spermatozoa has its own version of whatever they call gametes or the DNA. It's its own, it's itself, right? So who chooses which one wins the race? It's a lottery, right? Whenever we're dealing with a lottery, then God is involved. Nevertheless, God, even though I don't have the right kavana, look at Kinderlech who come in to the world, each with their own purity and holiness, which is way beyond anything that I could have had a kavana for, which is the mirror image of the davening. Even though I davened, and during my davening I wasn't really there, my kavana, let's even say that I have a kavana through the whole davening, what's my kavana likely to be? Help. So, the Gemara says, just imagine a person in his heart all the time is shouting, Master of the Universe, I'm drowning, please. Please. So that's the equivalent of a person who's dying. So madach with the kal v'chomer is something that was done so quietly, so discreetly that I'm ashamed of it. Something good can come from it. Something that I did with a bren, something, and I was burning with passion and I was shouting, I was screaming and I was praying like crazy. How much more so I can rest assured that something good will come out of it. You know, there's a Torah of the Baal Shem Tov, and it's brought in the Dega Machne Ephraim, last week's Seder. It says, Vayelakit Yosef Yosef gathered all the silver that was in all the money, kol hakesef, in the land of Egypt, and he brought it to the house of Pharaoh. B'sheva shehem shovrim, with the food that, with the provisions that the Egyptians were coming to buy. So the Degemach Nefraim, we said, we mentioned, he was an Enikol, he was the son of the daughter of the Baal Shem Tov, and he was the older of the two brothers, him and his brother Baruch. He was already Bar Mitzvah when his Zayda died, and he heard many Torahs from the mouth of the Baal Shem Tov. And he says, I heard from my Zayda that when a person has sexual thoughts, if a person finds, you know, his thoughts wandering to fantasies and stuff like that, it's because the middah of chesed has fallen. Meaning that the sphera of chesed, there are 10 spheros, keseh chochma bina, called moichin, these are the mentalities. And then you've got chesed on one side, gevura on the other side. Chesed is unrestricted giving, loving kindness that doesn't look at the person who's receiving. It just gives, gives, gives. Right? So the Baal Shem Tov said that when a person finds themselves flooded with sexual thoughts, it's because the sephira of chesed, the divine desire to give, has burst and is leaking, and it's like the dam has given way, and like everything is being flooded. And I, because I'm so low, right, I'm experiencing it as sexual desire. So then the Degemach Nefraim says, if a person stops and thinks, why, what am I thinking, what, where are my thoughts going, how do I come to be having these thoughts? What's going on inside me, right? Sometimes we're fortunate that we can look from above and ask ourselves, what's the mechanism, what's the dynamic going on inside myself that I should be flooded with these thoughts, right? And if I start to realize what it is, that this is the divine, this is chesed, the sephira of chesed, this is God's loving kindness, which is meitiv laroim elatoivim, which is a desire to do good for every creature in the universe, good or bad, right? Without demanding cheshbon, without, you don't have to have a ticket to ride, you don't have to give a receipt, it's just like, take here, take, 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 right? So when I stop and I think that this holy desire to do good has now come down into me, into my physical body, and all I want to do with it is get laid with it, right? And I start to feel sorry for it, and I have compassion with the holy sparks of chesed that are caught up inside my really just basically animal responses. And I start to tremble at the thought of Gewalt, Rabbeinu Shlomo, Master of the Universe, look, I want to take you, I want to take your desire, and I just want to use it in such a base way. This is terrible. And if I have sympathy and empathy with the divine desire, just that feeling that I have of Rachmunis, no more. It's not about doing teshuva. Don't have to do teshuva. Don't have to fix anything. It's not, the Baal Shem Tov says, this is not what our job is. Just awareness, right? If I can just be aware of how this beautiful thing is just turning into this ugliness, and stand back a moment and just be shocked and you know, think to myself, Gewalt, if only I could put it back where it's supposed to be, you know? If only I could, like, restore it. That says the Degen Machne Ephraim, the Zayde said, that is the fixing. That's the fixing of that thing. Then what happens is that the Sefira of Chesed gets put back into its proper place, and what happens then is that the Chesed starts to flow through me and comes to the whole world. So Chesed Elyon then is connected with Chesed Tachton, and it all connects with the Shekhinah. I become the Shekhinah that the Chesed wanted to connect with in the first place, and the Chesed flows through me, and I become a conduit, and it flows out to the whole world as it was supposed to do. And the world then becomes the Shekhinah, and so the Sefirot then are connected in the proper way, Chesed with Malchus, as it's supposed to be. Then the Degen Machne Ephraim goes on to say, you know what? There's an even greater toive. Yesh oid bechine gedoyle mize. He says, that's not if I see it by me, but if I see it by someone else. If I go out into the world and I see the world full of lewdness, full of licentiousness, I look at the billboard, and on the billboard, you know, there are these sexual images. It's not even about me. It's about something coming at me from the world out there. I'm looking at the world. I turn on the television and then I see something. I think to myself, Master of the Universe, that is you. Look how low your chesed has sunk, that it's being acted out in the world in such a gross way. And if I have rachmonis, if I have compassion with God, without even myself having to act it out, just by looking at somebody else, something going on in the world, and I say, Ribbono shel Olam, that makes me feel terrible. If I have rachmonis, again, the Degen Machne Ephraim says, v'chas, he has rachmonis on the znus in the world. And he sees that what it really is, that this is God's desire flowing into the world in an ungirdled way, that's the fixing. Vegoirem, and he causes chesed v'rachmim molech voidoi v'skolo oretz omein. Just by having compassion with your thought, right? It's unbelievable Torah from the Baal Shem Tov. We have thoughts all the time, right? If I can have compassion with my own thoughts and think to myself how they've come from such a high place. You see, this Torah is the flip side of the Torah that we were learning from the Ishbitzer, right? God does that for us all the time. In our hearts, we're praying. In our hearts, we're worshiping. Our neshama is so pure, right? But look at what we do. Look at the things we say. Look at the things that we, with the words that we utter that hurt people, that wound people. Look at the things that we do that withhold our love from even the people that we love. You know, the things that if we were to stop every day and just figure out how much we're hurting and withholding from those who love, who want from us things, and we just can't give. If we would see what the Ribbono shel Olam is seeing, the Ribbono shel Olam makes the connections all the time. He says, I know what you really want. I see what you really want. There's a Hasidic story my father used to tell about this man whose son had gone away, to the big city, you know, and then he wrote home because he'd run out of money. He got evicted. He's living on the street now, and all his, you know, he's got out of resources. And he writes home, you know, Dad, please send money. I'm starving. I've been thrown out of my apartment, and I've got no clothes to wear, and it's the winter. I'm freezing. Please send money, you know. And the man goes to the Rebbe and he says, Rebbe, the first thing I hear from my son, he's been out 9 months. I didn't once get a message from him saying, I'm alive, I'm okay, I love you. And I get this letter, and the Rebbe says, what do you mean? Look, he says, dear father, I love you. Send money, I love you. I'm having such a hard time, I love you. Can't you see, can't you read between the lines after each word is this expression of love? Every word is like, I love you. That's what the Ishbitzer says God is doing for us, right? God takes everything we say, everything we do, and he says, ah, that's not a sin. That's not what that means. That's not really what he's saying. He's saying, I love you. I worship you. I want to be with you. I want to give. And the Degen Machne Freim is saying, this is really the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov, right? I have to look at myself that way. And I have to say, you know what I'm feeling? I'm really feeling the divine flowing through me. You know, what's happening to me? How have I come to such a low level that this beautiful divine feeling of wanting to give has come out in this, you know, just, I want to take. How did that, I want to give, become that I want to take, you know? And how, and then to have rachmanis on it, the whole thing, that's the fixing of that thing. I bless you and me to be able to live a little with these Torahs in this coming week.